Good morning, everyone. I think we have a very interesting show lined up for you this morning, especially if you've ever wanted to tune in the world. I've always said if you tune in the world via shortwave, you're a better informed person. And if you're one of those, or you think you might be one of those, or you'd like to become one of those, stick around.
Vous écoutez RFI, Radio France Internationale.
You're listening to Radio France International in Paris. You're listening to the news on Radio France International in Paris. And now here's George with a look at today's French newspapers.
All of this morning's papers give front-page coverage to yesterday's government decision to modify the 1973 government borrowing called the Giscard loan.
This is Radio Peking.
And that's about it for today. From Australian newsreel, Lynn Grice saying, bye now.
This is Radio Australia, the overseas service of the Australian Broadcasting Commission.
It requires 75% investment by the Korean government. You are listening to the voice of Free Korea, transmitting from Seoul.
BBC World Service continues now with review of the British press. The mass arrests of anti-war demonstrators in Washington and the start of the Queen's Canadian tour make front-page news.
The 40-member main group of a Chinese table tennis delegation has left Tokyo for home after competing in the World Championships held in Nagoya, Central Japan, and touring various parts of the country. And that's the end of the news from Radio Japan. Your reporter was Y. Yoshioka.
This news broadcast comes to you from Radio Sweden. And here now is today's review of Swedish editorial comment.
This is XERMX, Radio Mexico, from Mexico City.
This is Radio Portugal. The English service is now signing off until the same time tomorrow.
You are tuned to the Swiss Broadcasting Corporation. Here is a Swiss chronometer to give you the exact time. At the last tone, it will be 4 hours Greenwich Mean Time.
Which came to you from the Voice of South Africa in Johannesburg. You can hear us again at 11 hours GMT in the 11, 13, 19, and 25 meter bands.
Home alone in the Federal Republic of Germany, this could be the start of something big, and that is that you're listening to Radio Deutsche Welle, the Voice of Germany, with its Tuesday evening broadcast to listeners in North America.
This is Manila calling, the English service of the Far East Broadcasting Company operating in the Philippines.
Their subject, Judeo-Christian relations since Vatican II.
This is Vatican Radio, Laudator Jesus Christus.
Don't forget to write to us. Our address is the DX Party Line, care of radio station HCJB, Quito, Ecuador, South America. We'll be looking for that letter from you. We'll be glad to send you our latest card if you meet the requirements mentioned early in the program. A full-color general view showing scenes on the Galapagos Islands.
And if the Vietnamese would never dare to reject our government's designs on their country by opposing our money and military power. Of course, some Americans profit greatly from a policy of war. Some Americans have an unnatural hate for communism, little concern for foreigners, and no understandings of political, economic, or social realities. When
that was a recorded message to the American people from two American pilots detained in North Vietnam.
Voice of Vietnam. This is the Voice of Vietnam, broadcasting from Hanoi, capital of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam.
The valorous Cambodian patriots are fighting to free their country from an invader and his hirelings. They're fighting for a peaceful, neutral, and democratic Cambodia. Their just cause will triumph.
That commentary was contributed by our observer, Yuri Sultan. You are tuned to Radio Moscow. This is Radio Canada International calling from Montreal.
Ici Radio Canada.
This is Canada.
Cast by the Dutch World Broadcasting System, Radio Nederland in Hilversum, Holland. It's time now to review this week's European press comment in Europress.
The American people are aware of the fact that the executive branch of government has assumed the policy-making power which the Constitution reserves for the Senate. The American people have seen, through the publication of secret Pentagon documents, how from the time of Truman and Eisenhower, U.S. presidents have tricked Congress and the American people about the nature of the imperial genocidal war in Indochina.
This is Radio Havana, Cuba.
Broadcasting from Cuba, free territory of America.
I just thought of something. What if somebody just tuned in the middle of that, in the middle of the night, and said, I'm going to tune in RB and see what's going on, and all of a sudden he's got the world. His mind has just been blown. All right, let's say hello to the man in the studio. The man who started the American Shortwave Listeners Club 25 years ago, Mr. Stuart McKenzie. Stuart, glad to have you with us.
Oh, thank you. Glad to be here.
Why did you start a Shortwave Listeners Club?
Well, I actually wasn't the one who started it. It began on the East Coast from an amateur radio enthusiast. He started out with something simple, a small club, and it grew, and he wanted to further his career in amateur radio, and he looked for a volunteer, and certain parts of it, and that's where I wound up in.
All right, now you're a ham operator, and that means you have your own so-called radio station,
right,
and your call letters, and you contact other hams around the world. But how did you get involved in shortwave listening, which is a whole different thing? You don't have to have a license. Anybody can tune in. All you need is a shortwave radio for $100 or so, and you're in business.
Well, overseas in the service, the Armed Forces Radio Service is on shortwave.
Right.
So the only way you could tune in was to have a shortwave receiver, and that's how I got involved over in during the Korean service.
Really? I go back to 1948, and I was on Armed Forces Radio shortwave out of New York, and that was the first eye-opener to me that there was another world out there, all these countries from all over the world on the shortwave bands.
Yes, I was amazed at, because I was a youngster at that time, around
Weren't we all?
And like I said before, the Armed Forces Radio Service was on shortwave, and then once you got through listening to them, you tuned up and down the bands, and it just opened up the world to me. And we realized that meant, you know, other people are out there.
We'll come back to you in a moment, Stuart. Right now, let's go to beautiful, sunny Hawaii and say hello to an old friend I haven't seen or talked with him in about 10 or 12 years, Dr. Richard E. Wood. Dr. Wood, are you there?
Hello, I'm there. I'll say aloha.
Aloha. How's the weather in Hawaii? Need I ask?
The island, we're having our usual 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock shower. We always get that. Just freshens things up, and then it's usually sunny in the morning again.
Of course. How terrible. How you have to put up with all that terrible weather, right? Dr. Wood, you have been an aficionado of shortwave. I guess you'd have to be the granddaddy. I don't mean to make you sound old here, but the granddaddy of all serious shortwave listeners. It's more than just a hobby. It is almost, well, what is it with you?
Well, it's more or less my life, and I've been at it since 1957, and You can trace a lot of my moves, really, to the desire to DX from different locations, and perhaps even recently with my 2 years in Saudi Arabia to earn enough money so that I could come here to Hawaii and DX more or less full-time as I'm doing.
You live to listen to the world, right?
That's right.
I remember that you first communicated with me about, 12 years ago or so, listening in Hawaii at that time to only the Los Angeles station, and you marveled at the quality of the Radio Moscow excerpts that I had used on the air, if I recall.
That's right, and then I was a guest on your station when you were only on KABC. That's before you had the nationwide syndicated program, and it's nice to be back on again.
One of the oldest shows on international radio is the Happy Station show from Radio Nederland, now called in this country Radio Netherlands. And I guess about 15 or 20 years ago, a very exuberant personality by the name of Tom Meyer took over from Edward Starts. And we've got Tom on the phone right now. Tom, how are you?
I'm fine, Ray, and hello, good morning to you.
Good morning, and you're being heard all across America right now, but you're heard all across America and a few other countries as well every Sunday night. If I recall, it's 2 hours, 30 minutes GMT for the East Coast, and 4 hours, 5 hours, 30 minutes GMT for the West Coast.
Right, you're absolutely right, except that we don't use GMT anymore. We say UTC, but...
Well, you can call it what you want. It's still Greenwich Mean Time to me.
Right, you're absolutely right. You're not the only one. And by the way, you said it's one of the oldest shows on shortwave. I'm happy to say it is the oldest show on shortwave.
Hey, well, I thought that was true, but I always like to protect myself.
Yeah, well, you're right, but, you know, then I can do something about that.
Very good. Tom Meyer, you have a great personality, and you speak something like six different languages. How many languages do you speak?
Well, I always say six enough to go on the air in.
And I'm always amazed at how fluent you are in all of the languages.
Well, I think it's a matter, as it says in my biography that's being sent out by the station, it's a matter of not really being a human being. It's a matter of being really born a parrot, and I simply imitate. But I have to say, Ray, that it's true. It comes in very handy if you have a facility for languages like I have in this profession, and I never knew I could put it to such good use, but I'm happy that I found a profession where I can use this facility.
Well, you know, when I'm tuning the dial sometimes, I hear your Spanish transmission to Latin America.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't understand Spanish, but it sounds good to me.
Well, that's a compliment already, because even somebody who doesn't speak a language can often tell whether it sounds good or not.
Well, Tom, maybe for the people who have never heard your show and who have never tuned in to an international shortwave station, why don't you tell our listeners what you do?
Okay, I do, I think we can safely call it the only real entertainment show that's left on the shortwave bands. I'm not saying that no other shortwave stations put out any entertainment anymore, but in the past, there used to be more entertainment to be found in the shortwaves than nowadays, because most of the emphasis, of course, lies on information and news. But Happy Station, the Happy Station show being the oldest shortwave show in the world, obviously Radio Netherlands doesn't want to do away with it just like that. And it is a full-time entertainment program, meaning that it lasts an entire transmission. Now, on other transmissions from Radio Netherlands, which, by the way, broadcasts in 9 languages daily, which isn't very much, I agree, if you look at biggies such as the BBC World Service or the Voice of America or Radio Australia.
Radio Moscow.
Well, yes, just to name a few. We only have 9 languages, but when the International Shortwave Club in England still used to do their popularity poll once every 3 years, surprisingly enough and happily enough for us, Radio Netherlands came out number 1, I don't know how many times in a row. Okay, now the transmissions of Radio Netherlands usually last 50 or 55 minutes.
And there's some people out there saying right now, you mean I just can't tune in any old time and hear Tom Meyer?
Exactly, because Happy Station is on the air only on Sundays.
And then you have to be at the right hour.
The right hour and the right frequency. And the right hour in your part of the world, of course, would be
this GMT business minus 8 at this time.
We'll get into that a little bit later. We don't want to confuse them at this stage.
Okay. Well, the ordinary everyday transmissions of Radio Netherlands consist of news and information, etc., and then a certain topic. Well, that takes up the 55 minutes. One happy station show is the entire transmission of 55 minutes.
But you do a lot of things. You play records. Sometimes you do big band shows. You do all kinds of entertaining things. And you also have a male portion of the show. And that is when someone is having a birthday that day, the day of the broadcast, you have it in your file system there and you wish them happy birthday.
Yeah.
Now, what do people do? They write to you and they say, my birthday is such and such a day, put me in your file?
Exactly. They can ask for a registration form and they become a registered listener of the Happy Station Show, which not only means that we put them in our so-called birthday book and they get their birthday congratulations as soon as their birthday comes along on a Sunday, or in leap years, also on a Monday, it means they also get our end-of-the-year surprise, which usually is a calendar. And I was thinking, Ray, it might be a nice idea to find out how many new shortwave fans you made tonight on this broadcast of yours by promising them, as long as the stock is there, that anyone who hears this broadcast of yours today and who would like to get in touch with us will be receiving a surprise from us. And that will be our pennant on the inside. If they say Ray Bream Talk Radio, we will know that they heard this show and we'll send them a pennant. The Dutch colors are in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the Radio Netherlands crest in it, and it says Happy Station or La Estación de la Alegría, which is our Spanish name.
Boy, it rolls right off the old tongue there. Amazing. All right, so people can do that and write to... Now, how do they write to Radio Netherlands?
It's simple. It's Radio Netherlands, or in my case, my show, The Happy Station Show, P.O. Box 222, 1200, J.G., J for Jim, G for Germ, in Hilversum, H-I-L-V-E-R-S-U-M.
Hilversum.
Yes. And I once had a little quiz, Ray, when people started writing in, how do I spell Hilversum? Because what with fading or interference or shortwave, they couldn't really hear it well. I said, okay, let's find a sentence so that people will know by remembering that sentence how they write it. And somebody from Finland said, his impossible listeners very egoistically request Sinatra's Unknown Melodies. Take the first letter of every word and you've got Hilversum.
For those who've never listened to your program, how do they find you on the shortwave dial? What frequency are you on? You remember?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
They can tune in to two frequencies, whether they're on the East Coast or the West Coast, and they'll have to look in the 31-meter band or the 49-meter band. That is, of course, talking about the wavelength. And then in those meter bands, they look for 9,590 kilohertz or 6,165 kilohertz. That's for the East Coast at 2:30 GMT or UTC. And 3 hours later at 5:30 UTC, they can find us in those same meter bands, but there's a slight difference in frequency, 9,715 kilohertz or the same one, 6,165.
Very good. You know, in many areas of the country, you can pick up both broadcasts with almost equal reception.
Well, that's very good, because then at least you have a choice, you know, whether you want to hear the earlier or the later broadcast.
And for those who don't know, shortwave broadcasters have gone to relay stations now, and that affords really excellent reception, as close to medium wave or broadcast band reception as you can get. And, of course, you have a relay station in Bonaire in the Netherlands Antilles. And do you use the satellite now to feed the Netherlands Antilles?
Yes. As you know, we have two relay stations, one at Bonaire and one on the island of Madagascar.
Right.
Which, of course, we use for a different part of the world again. We reach our relay stations by satellite, but the misunderstanding when we say that Radio Netherlands uses satellites, the misunderstanding that the listeners would be tuning into the satellite directly, of course, should be avoided, because the listeners still listen to shortwave. We simply...
Of course. You just feed the program by satellite.
Exactly, which means that we can do everything live as we choose, whereas in the past we had to send a suitcase with tapes for the coming week to our relay station.
And it got to be kind of a problem trying to figure out how you can make it sound as live as possible without it being dated.
Exactly. And an even bigger problem was that once in a while, the suitcase would get lost on its way to the relay station. Well, then we were really in trouble.
Then you had the old standby show.
Exactly.
Say hello to Dr. Richard E. Wood. His line isn't too good, so, Dr. Wood, you're going to have to speak up. You're on with Tom Meyer, Dr. Wood.
Aloha, Tom. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, if you say aloha, then I'll have to say goeiemorgen.
Goeiemorgen to you also. Except here it's goeieavond.
Well, yes, of course, because there's so many...
You know, I'm a linguist myself, and Ray there a moment ago was praising your Spanish. I have to praise probably your German as the best among all your languages, particularly when it comes to accent. I hear you greeting the listeners in Germany. It's fairly easy for a Dutchman to learn German, but it's difficult for a Dutchman to get rid of his Dutch accent when he speaks a language like German that is very closely related to Dutch. And
yes, well,
you speak German without a Dutch accent, and I have to congratulate you on that.
Well, thank you very much. It's, you know, the compliments are flying across the continents and the oceans tonight, or today. My father once remarked when he was listening to one of my shows, how did I ever get a son with such a Prussian accent in German? And my mother, of course, who is Swiss, then said, well, don't worry about that anymore because nobody really knows what he speaks anyway.
And now let's go by phone to Invercargill, New Zealand. And the man we have on the phone on the other end is a blind radio listener who's become a world authority in his hobby, and the only listener who's turned his hobby into a full-time occupation while representing the six biggest shortwave stations in the world. His name, it's legendary, Arthur T. Cushion. Mr. Cushion, good morning.
Good morning, Ray, and good morning, Stuart and Richard. It's very nice to be and hear Tom as well, and, you know, friends of many years, and talking to you folk there in KABC.
Tell us the story of how you first started listening to shortwave and how you became such an expert on it.
Well, I started listening in 1935, you know, poor sight forced me to find an indoor hobby, and in fact, 1932, I can still recall listening to the King George V's first Christmas message from the Empire Service in London, and I found radio was, you know, a novelty in those days, and I gradually became involved as a listener, and then in 1960, when my sight went, I had been working voluntary for the BBC and Radio Canada and other organisations, and, you know, got onto their staff as a paid monitor, and later, of course, I've been appointed to VOA and Vatican Radio, Radio Sweden.
All right, now what is a paid monitor? Explain that.
Well, I have to check the BBC almost every day, and I have 70 checks a day at the BBC. That's each hour I check the frequencies which are beamed to this area, and I have women working in the office here, and we have a staff of five, and they put that into graph form, and they send it to London. The same goes to Voice of America in Washington, the same goes to Radio Canada. And then I do band surveys. In other words, Tom was talking about the 31-meter band. Well, I get that band in the afternoon, and or whatever time is allocated, and I list every radio station on that band, identify it, the length of transmission, and the signal level over a given period. And that, in, say, the 31-meter band in the 2 hours, might meet 120 stations identified.
And you've got to be the world's greatest DXer. And you get paid for it, too.
I'm interested in the verification of radio stations, and your North American listeners might be quite staggered that if I tell them I've confirmed over 1,200 AM radio stations from the United States, and every state except the one in Maine and Rhode Island. I can't hear them out here, but most all other states I have. In California, over 200 AM radio stations.
You've heard in New Zealand?
About 5,000 shortwaves.
That's amazing. Through all of your years of shortwave listening, don't you get bored with it? Don't you say, oh, to heck with that, there's nothing on it but garbage propaganda from some of the stations? I'm tired of it. I want to go to AM radio or something.
Well, of course, the thing about AM radio is it's unpredictable. We have a listening post outside the city with solar panels on the roof, no power around, no mains power, and aerials up to 4,000 feet long. And Tuesday night I listened to KAAM in Dallas 1310, which I'd never heard before, And this morning, even while you're by my bed, I was listening to KABC at 4:30 your time, KROW next door at the same time. And we must have darkness between my home and your transmitter to get that type of reception. Different to shortwave.
Now, do you ever get bored running across the shortwave dial?
No, I find when you get into this sort of situation, you find new stations because it's just like, you know, the houses in your street, there's someone there that shouldn't be there. And the challenge is to puzzle it out and find out what that station really is. And that's, I think, the unpredictableness of the hobby, because, and getting the verifications back in the mail is a big thrill because, you know, they don't always confirm, particularly South Americans, and to get some good South Americans back, particularly low-powered ones, is the final conquest of that station.
Arthur, what are the, well, let's put it this way, well listened to or the easiest to listen to, rather new stations that have gone on the air in the past 4 or 5 years that you think ought to be mentioned?
Well, I've just been listening tonight to Radio Bangladesh. That was a midnight, your Pacific Standard Time on 17670 kilohertz. That's in the 16-meter band, and they had Koran and English program. And, you know, you can listen to stations that are really in the news. Afghanistan, for the moment, we get very good reception of a news broadcast at 1900 UTC on the move to 7320 kilohertz. And those sort of places are quite a challenge because it's nice to be right at the source of the information. You know, to hear a news bulletin from an actual place like Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, and little unknown countries like that that have gone on to shortwave, and you can actually be there.
So, all right, well, what about some of the biggies, such as the rather recent new international service from Radio Brás from Brasilia in Brazil? You know, it's only been on the air about 3 or 4 years with their high-power transmitters. Do you get them okay?
We get them okay, and of course, even better in this area is new Radio France's relay station in Guyana, which is carrying the Radio France International programs, and we get them very good in the afternoons here, which would be 0300 and 0400, and they have French English each quarter hour alternative, and that's also a good news source of information from the French angle of news.
What other international broadcasters are stepping up to high power that will allow most listeners to hear them for the first time? What other stations are coming online?
Well, there are, of course, the 500-kilowatt transmitters seem to be the thing these days, and a lot of stations are moving into that pair. And Bangladesh, I think, would be the latest one with high-powered equipment. And then Radio Yugoslavia is a country which is pretty difficult to hear, and that's going to be relatively easy when they go to 500 kilowatt from their old 100 kilowatt.
Well, didn't I read where Denmark is going to go back into service again with some high power transmitters? Also, Radio Norway.
Yes, and even Radio New Zealand at the moment, where the government are looking at increasing the power of the transmitters, and they're calling it Radio New Zealand International now because they feel there is an international audience even at 7.5 kilowatt.
That's right. I hear Radio New Zealand, especially in the summertime, and it's only 7.5 kilowatts.
Yes. And the transmitter was built in 1942, so...
Well, if you could get up to 100 kilowatts, imagine what a signal you'd put in.
Yes. And, of course, up a little north from us, Ray, in Saipan, we've got KFBS, new gospel station there, 100 kilowatt. In Guam is fairly recently, KTWR. A lot of gospel stations in the Pacific, right up to Alaska, KNLS. They sort of ringing this area with gospel programming and quite easily received.
Well, now there's a new phenomena hitting the United States, and that is commercial shortwave broadcasting, which hasn't happened since the old WNYW. And that is WRNO in New Orleans, who's on the air with commercial shortwave, and I guess you've heard that.
Yes.
And a new one going on in Alabama is going to be called tentatively NDXE in Dixie.
Yes.
And that's going to be a commercial shortwave broadcaster.
Well, there is, of course, in Japan, of course, since the war, you've got NSB, which is on the shortwave, and it's totally shortwave, which has stayed on the air and all that time running a shortwave commercial service from inside Japan for local consumption using the 75-meter band and the 49-meter band.
Arthur Cushion, your book, The World in My Ears, is a jewel. If anybody wants to start into shortwave listening, they ought to read your book. How can they get your book?
Well, I can get it in the States from Gopher shortwave in Packridge, New Jersey, which is a well-known organization of mail order equipment and that. Or they can get it from me. We're only too happy to autograph a copy. We've sold it in over 70 countries. And, you know, it's not a technical book by any means. It's just a non-technical, simply written introduction to radio listening, really.
For those who think that they might want to just, you know, invest $100 or so and get into shortwave listening, what would you recommend to them?
Well, I think if they could get a receiver with a digital readout, you know, you and I have probably struggled with I still get letters. My receiver's got SW1 and SW2.
Sure.
5, 6, 7, 8. What does it mean? Nowadays, I mean, it's just like dialing the phone, and they just dial up the frequency, and there's the station. And that makes it so simple if they've got a book with the stations and the frequencies. If it's propagation possible, the station will come in. So that's the simplest way. And to look for a digital readout receiver, there's plenty of quite reasonable ones. I don't know the American market, but we've got the DR31 here, which would be a national brand, which is a very popular one, and this is in the lower priced receiver market, and that sort of thing proves very, very well.
Well, Arthur Cushion, I appreciate your taking the time to talk with us on our program here this morning. And the next time that you're in the States, I hope you'll drop by, okay?
Yes, and thanks for the talk. And could I just say my good wishes to Stuart there and to Richard. And
well, say hello to Stuart. We have about a minute here. Okay.
Seemed a long time since we met out at August Belby's place.
Right, right. It's been quite some time, and I hope the next time you're in the area, you know, we'll get a chance to get together again.
And while we're at it, you can say goodbye to Dr. Wood in Hawaii. Go ahead, Dr. Wood.
Hello, Arthur. From one Pacific resident to another, it's real nice to talk to you.
Yes, and greetings from all the member clubs out here of the South Pacific Association of Radio Clubs. We've got a group of clubs out here that are very keen in the North American scene and only too pleased to cooperate with you folk over there.
Arthur Cushion, thank you very much for being with us.
That's correct.
Goodbye.
To your listeners. Ta-da.
He's really a giant, along with the other people we've had so far, and Dr. Wood on the line. Dr. Wood, what would you recommend to someone who wants to tune in the shortwave bands for the first time?
Well, I agree. I think a digital frequency readout makes a lot of difference. It makes it easy, and I don't think you can get a good set for under $100. If you could invest $200 or $300 and get something with a nice frequency display, it makes a big difference.
So plan on spending $100 to $200, huh?
Yes.
All right, well, hold on, if you will. In the studio, Stuart McKenzie of the American Shortwave Listeners Club. On the phone in Hawaii, we've got Dr. Richard E. Wood. Okay, let's take a call. Hello, Steve, you're on Talk Radio, and you're on with, in the studio, Stuart McKenzie, and on the phone in Hawaii, Dr. Richard E. Wood. Go ahead.
Well, I'd like to say hello to Stuart and to Richard, and also to you, Ray.
Thank you.
I've been a shortwave listener on and off since 1967. I dropped out of the hobby in the early 70s and went into the Navy. And after getting out of the Navy, I sort of rediscovered the hobby. Somewhat belatedly to me, I wish I would have stayed with it when I was in the Navy traveling around.
Why do you like the hobby?
Oh, I like it for a various number of reasons. I like to keep up with world news. I like to hear the news from the places where it's happening.
Uh-huh.
And I also like the thrill of hearing and getting verifications back from different foreign countries.
That's something we really haven't talked about, but almost all of the international shortwave broadcasters at times will send out a QSL card, and some of them are very, very beautiful.
That's very true, and it's a great joy to go out to the mailbox and after writing a report, after hearing the station, and actually getting a response back from the people that you've heard.
This is Yugoslavia Radio Belgrade calling.
Radio Belgrade. Now, they're going on with their new 500,000-watt transmitters very shortly, Stuart. When? Do you know?
It's supposed to be starting in January 85, they'll be starting their test transmissions.
And they'll be sending transmissions to North America?
North America and Europe would be their primary target areas.
How about that? So we'll have some more stations to listen to from the Eastern Bloc.
Right.
All right. We have Richard E. Wood on the phone from Hawaii. And now, let's say hello to a man who has made shortwave not only his hobby, but his passion, I guess you could say. We have Glenn Hauser on the phone, who publishes Review of International Broadcasting. Glenn, good morning.
Good morning, Ray.
How's everything in Florida?
Just fine.
Well, you can fight it out with Richard Wood in Hawaii. I don't know who's going to win.
Well, I think we have a wonderful climate here, too.
I know you do. Review of International Broadcasting. You've been publishing this for shortwave listeners, and it's more than just a DX guide as such. You have a lot of information in it. You've been publishing Review of International Broadcasting how long?
Almost 9 years now.
And so for $1.50 a month, which is you issue it, what, once a month?
Yes.
You get all the latest on what's happening in the world of shortwave.
Right. Unlike most other publications dealing with shortwave, the Review of International Broadcasting concentrates on programming, and we encourage people to express their opinions about what they hear. And we always try to keep up with the latest developments. Frequencies change, and to be able to listen to shortwave, you have to have the latest information. You just can't always go to the same place on the dial like you do on medium wave.
That's right. If someone who is listening for the first time wanted to contact you, how do they write you?
I have a long box number. It's a box 490756.
490756.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33349.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33349. And it's Glenn Hauser, H-A-U-S-E-R.
Right.
Glenn, what do you think you would tell someone who is, a little interested in what they're hearing right now, but have never, ever tuned in to an international broadcaster, but their interest is a little piqued at the moment?
Well, I think they should follow through. Listening to domestic radio certainly has its merits, but once you listen to shortwave, you will find that your perspectives are widened. You'll find that there are other points of view which may be valid, or even if you do not agree with them, it's a very good idea to know what other countries are saying. So, as some of the other guests have suggested, I would think it would be a good idea to try to find a shortwave radio, not too expensive, but preferably with digital readout, and give it a try.
Well, you can do it at certain times in international affairs, and honestly, you'll hear things like you've never heard before. During the Falklands War, as a good example. Some of the only news that you could really honestly get out of the whole mess was on the shortwave bands, as you well know.
Right.
During the situation in Central America right now, you can tune in the voice of the Sandinista Revolution, the voice of Nicaragua, and hear what they're saying. You can certainly hear what Moscow's saying. They've been saying it all these years now. But during the Vietnam War, you could tune in Radio Hanoi. Or during the Pueblo crisis, I tuned in Radio Pingyong and heard the voice of Commander Booker, along with many others in the crew of the Pueblo, as they were making their so-called confession statements. Now, listen carefully. This is from Radio Pingyong. It was the very famous press conference before the communist press, where they are admitting their crimes and that they might even be put to death. This is the voice of Commander Booker from Radio Pingyong.
We did infer the territorial waters of this country. Secondly, we did sincerely apologize for our crimes and have asked for leniency. Third, it was more responsibility of ours to be responsible for the acts of the soldiers and sailors within our armed forces who carry out their orders. If they do not accept that responsibility, then we feel certain that we will be brought to trial here. And for some of us, that could mean death, and for others, long terms of imprisonment. It has been almost 8 months now since our capture. And I personally feel that that is long enough to study the facts and take the necessary action to return us to our country. We earnestly ask the American people to put themselves in our place and ask what they would want us to do if they were here and we were back home. I do not ask this release from imprisonment, particularly for myself, as I am the commanding officer and have the lion's share of the responsibility for the acts of the Pueblo. However, as has been mentioned, there are many in my crew who are in their very early 20s and have not had an opportunity to taste either the bitters or sweets of this life. And it occurs to me that their responsibility is very minimal and consequently should not be called upon to remain here any longer. All of us, including myself, miss our families a great deal.
All right, there was a portion of a historic broadcast, the trumped-up so-called news conference in Pyongyang, North Korea, with members of the Pueblo crew, and speaking was Commander Lloyd Bucher. I don't know if you were able to hear much of that, Glenn. Did you hear any of it?
Yes, it's coming in pretty well.
But that's the type of thing that if you're an inveterate shortwave listener, you can hear.
Right. We should emphasize, however, that you won't always hear something that historic, but if you keep at it, you might well hear something like that.
What are some of the things that you've heard?
Well, you were mentioning the Argentine, the Falklands War. The both sides were on the air with their propaganda stations. There was Argentine Annie coming out of Argentina, although she didn't say where she was. And the British set up something called Radio South Atlantic, not to be confused with the BBC. So they were throwing their charges back and forth and trying to demoralize the other side.
Well, Glenn, we're going to have to take a break here. I wanted to get you on the program, and thanks for being with us. And if you're ever around, I hope we can get you in the studio sometime, all right?
I'd enjoy that.
Thank you very much. Glenn Hauser, who, of course, publishes the Review of International Broadcasting. He's headquartered in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And let's ask Dr. Richard E. Wood in Hawaii some of the important broadcasts that he feels that he's heard throughout his life. Dr. Wood, what would you say were some of the broadcasts that were notable?
Well, I try to follow all the current political crises and even perhaps discover new stations that might be coming from present trouble spots. Right at the moment, for example, here in the Pacific, we have a very violent trouble spot developing in New Caledonia, the French territory, which is located to the northeast of Australia. As you may have heard about the violence there recently, the Kanak Liberation Front, the Socialist Liberation Front there, and the killings and ambushes between the dark-skinned Kanak revolutionaries and the French settlers there, a kind of Algerian situation, repetition of what the French had to put up with in Algeria about 20 years ago. So I'm actually checking the dial now and listening every night to the French radio station there, the official voice, and I'm looking around the dial for any possible revolutionary radio station that may go on the air. In fact, I'm sorry I didn't get a chance when I was talking with Arthur. We had so many things to say there. Didn't ask him about that, but have the New Zealanders discovered a rebel radio station in New Caledonia? This is
what about the various radio stations in Central America with the trouble going on down there?
Right, I listen to those also. There's both the clandestine stations and the official government stations, Radio Sandino, which has been mentioned, and various Cuban exile groups operating a number of transmitters toward Cuba, and also in favor of the Contras, the anti-Sandinista movement in Nicaragua. Those are all quite well audible here. There isn't much jamming, and they can be loudly heard. Quite close to the doorstep of the United States. Good reception and convenient evening listening hours.
One of the stations that's very difficult to get clearly in North America that you can get in Hawaii, I know because I've done it there, is All India Radio.
Yes. It was very interesting and rather tragic, of course, to listen to the news of the assassination of Mrs. Gandhi just a few weeks ago, and then the morning music, the commercial service. I get that very well. It didn't have any commercials, and they didn't have the pop music and so-called film music, that is light Indian music, anymore. It was just morning type chants from the
Hindu.
So you know something was happening there?
Yes, I get India very loudly, even during the day, I would say. 12 hours a day or more, I can get India here.
I know.
And also, but India is particularly good.
The DXing in Hawaii is sensational.
It is, really. An interesting thing is, I had a DXer here from California. Chuck Behnke from the San Francisco area visited me recently, and he said, you're further away from Europe than we are in California, and yet your European reception is better in Hawaii than it is in California.
Because it doesn't have to go over the auroral zone.
That's what it is. I have already heard, I've only been here on the Big Island for about 4 months, and I've already heard 6 European countries on the AM, the standard broadcast band, the medium wave band.
Isn't that something?
Norway, right up there in Northern Europe.
That's amazing. That's amazing. All right, we're going to ask Stuart McKenzie, what are some of the events that you've heard that are notable and that the ordinary radio listener or television watcher would never, ever hear or see?
Back several years ago when the Czechoslovakia was having problems with the Russians, the freedom fighters had portable transmitters set up, and the Californians were the first ones to hear that. We heard the Falkland Islands war that was going on, the Pueblo event, the daily broadcast that came over, and we were able to tape stuff like that. The most excited one that I was able to hear was the Friendship 7 spaceships. They were on shortwave at that time with their relay stations around the world. We were able to hear conversations between Texas and the satellite.
Well, it's always served me well in the broadcasting business because, let's take during the Vietnam War. I mean, they were broadcasting a lot of the statements from some of the prisoners, a very few of them, that were cooperating with them, as you know. Then came some of the entourages that went to Hanoi, and we were debating at the time. I had a lot of callers saying, well, how do you know that Jane Fonda is making propaganda broadcasts for Hanoi? And that's a good question, so I said, I'll tell you what, I'll go home and I'll listen, and if I hear anything, I'll record it and play it on the air. Next morning, there was Jane Fonda. I recorded it, and I played it on the air, and she was broadcasting supposedly from the dikes that we had bombed and flooding the paddy fields and so forth. So it's a fascinating thing to be able to listen to the world. Why don't you think more people are doing that?
I think here in the United States, the people have been brought up or educated, you might say, that domestic-oriented radio and the receivers built during the past years at that time did not contain your typical shortwave bands. It took the Japanese invasion of the transistor radios to change all that.
Voice of Spain. Good evening, America. This is the Voice of Spain, broadcasting from the Spanish National Radio in Madrid.
There's one of my favorite stations. I really like Radio Madrid, Radio Spain. And it comes in the summertime especially. Very, very well.
Very good, and the music, as you just heard, is sensational.
It's one of my favorite stations. Now let's go to Invercargill, New Zealand, and say hello to another renowned DXer. I think all renowned DXers are in Invercargill, New Zealand. Laurie Boyer. Good morning, Laurie.
How are you? How's America? I'd like to start off by wishing all the people I know in America and the ones I don't know a very Merry Christmas and a prosperous New Year.
Well, thank you, Laurie. All right, what should we know about your DX career?
Well, I always wanted to travel to America. I was always very interested in American history, American places, and I started off as a youngster about 18, and but couldn't see any possible way I could ever travel to America, so the very best thing to do was to try and listen to their stations, and I got involved that way. And I really enjoyed the hobby over the years, and you meet a lot of very, very nice people involved in it.
Now, in your DXing, you, of course, listen to international shortwave broadcasters as well.
Yes, that's right.
What's your favorite international broadcaster?
Well, I do like Radio Canada. Radio Australia is pretty good. Quite often listen to the Voice of America. It's all pretty good. I think one of the best things I've ever been able to do in my life was when the Korean War was on. We were sitting in New Zealand, and every night Radio Peking would come on, and they were sometimes very hard to hear, but all over New Zealand, groups of us got together, and we'd get prisoner of war messages, their numbers, their next of kin, and then we'd piece them all together and let the next of kin in America know that their son was alive and well and was talking from Radio Peking. I think that's probably one of the highlights of DXing, to be able to do something like that, to let people know. Quite often it was the first news they'd ever heard. They didn't know whether their son was alive or not, and we were able to tell them from here. I really enjoyed that part of it.
A real service.
I think so, yeah.
Would you hold on, please? My guest in the studio is Stuart McKenzie. We have Dr. Richard E. Wood on the phone from Hawaii, and speaking from Invercargill, New Zealand, we've got Laurie Boyer. Richard Wood is listening there in Hawaii, so say hello to Dr. Richard E. Wood.
Hello, Dr. Wood. How are you?
I'm fine, Laurie, and I'd like to just ask that question. Have the New Zealand DXers discovered an opposition radio station in New Caledonia?
I haven't heard myself. I haven't been listening very much. Coming up in New Zealand, everything breaks down over Christmas. Everything shuts down for about 2-3 weeks, and you just get no rest from work leading right up to that. So I really haven't done any listening over the last few weeks. I haven't heard myself.
All right.
Okay, I want to thank you, Laurie Boyer, for being with us. Anything you'd like to insert at this time regarding the hobby of shortwave listening and DXing?
Now, the only thing I could say is that for educational purposes and getting to know people around the world and that, it's a tremendous hobby. There's a lot of satisfaction in it, and there's so many nice people in the world when you get around mixing with them. I was fortunate enough to go on a Greyhound bus trip around the United States earlier this year, and sitting in a bus, radio with me, earphones going and that, and people would come up and say, "Oh, what are you doing?" "Well, I'm just listening to radio stations. I like to hear them and that." And, you get to meet people that way, just even sitting in a Greyhound bus.
Well, there's one thing about it. In this country, you have enough radio stations to choose from, right?
That's for sure. There's a lot of them.
That's true.
And I'll be back to get some more of them, too.
Very good. Laurie, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir.
Take care now.
Bye now.
I think they're all the renowned DXers are in Invercargill, New Zealand. I don't know why. any thoughts on that, Dr. Wood?
Well, it's a wonderful location. It's at the southern tip of New Zealand, and it's just far removed from any sources of interference. It's far away from any jamming stations, and they can get a good cross-section of stations around the world.
That's one of the things about shortwave listening. You can't have a lot of man-made interference.
That's right. That's why I'm on solar power here. I'm living in a subdivision of the big island called Hawaiian Paradise Park, and I have solar power, and sometimes it conks out on me so that I can't DX all night as I would like to do, but at least I don't have any man-made interference here. I'm a long way from the nearest public power.
This is Radio Finland calling.
Well, that was a shorty, but, you know, they have these unusual monikers, you might say. We say in the trade identification signal, or to be specific, an interval signal. Now, we better say exactly what an interval signal is and what it's designed for. Stuart?
It's designed to, when the station comes on the air, they usually come on maybe 5 minutes or 2-3 minutes earlier, and with these interval signals, the particular people who want to hear this country will be able to set up their frequencies so they'll be ready for when the station actually comes on the air.
One of the greatest is Australia. Go ahead, Joe, pick up Australia there, and we'll hear the Kookaburra bird. I always love to hear Australia sign on. That's one of my favorites. You got it, Joe? Let's listen to that. Oh, this is Austria, not Australia. We'll listen to this.
Österreich auf Kurzwelle.
Okay, that was Austria and a little Austrian waltz there, Viennese waltz. Okay, let's try the kookaburra bird that you're going to hear from Radio Australia. And a little waltzing Matilda. I mean, people might want to go down there for the wallabies and the kangaroos. I want to go down and see what that kookaburra bird looks like. I've heard that thing for such a long time. All right, let's take a call. Hello, Robert, you're on Talk Radio with Stuart McKenzie and Dr. Robert E. Wood.
Oh, yes, it wasn't mentioned before, but there are a number of commercial medium-wave stations in Canada which also transmit on shortwave.
Oh, that's true. Certainly in Montreal and the one in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. Sprinkling of a few here. I understand they've picked up interest now. Had been thinking of just deleting them, but now their interest is.
And they're low powered. I think they're omnidirectional. They're 1 kilowatt jobs.
Oh, some are just a few hundred watts.
Mm-hmm.
But meanwhile, I'm on the lunatic fringe of the DX hobby here, above 50 megahertz, where the TV and FM and some other services reside. And I'd like to know, who is responsible for swallowing up all the sporadic e-skip this past year? One of you?
I don't know, but Stuart, you want to get into this? Dr. Wood?
Well, I'm innocent.
Well, as you know, we're in the trough of the 11-year sunspot cycle, and so there's very little solar radiation.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, the troughs of the cycle are actually...
That's what you need, because otherwise you get the skip. Yeah, that's
associated
right.
...associated with greater sporadic e-activity. There's, over the long term, let's say months, there is a negative correlation between solar activity and sporadic e. But in the short term, there's like matters of hours or days, a positive correlation. We have what is called sometimes auroral-induced or auroral-associated e-skip. But I'm wondering if I could get in a mention for the Worldwide TV-FM-DX Association.
You just did.
They're at Post Office Box 514, Buffalo, New York, 14205. And they put out an excellent monthly VHF-UHF digest and are one of the clubs in the Association of North American Radio Clubs.
I have one right in front of me, in fact.
Ah, yes. The December?
This is the December, 84, yes.
Right. And anyway, a number of people aren't even aware that there is DX in the VHF and UHF.
Listen, wherever there's a radio station or a television station, any kind of a radio or RF station, I mean, there's a DXer. It's trying to pick it up somewhere.
Right. But V and UHF propagation is associated with a lot greater fluctuation than is present at the lower frequencies. So under average conditions, transmissions are limited to pretty short range
mm-hmm.
relative to short wave. But it is those unusual conditions that produce DX on TV, which you can actually see as well as hear, as well as FM and all the other services that work above 10 meters.
Has anyone ever really verified what supposedly happened in Texas with the station identification signal that was... bounced out into space, supposedly, and somebody picked it up coming back years later, long after that station had changed its call letters?
Yes, K-L-E-E. Well, that was a hoax.
That was a hoax?
Well, it was actually possibly more than a hoax. It was a fraud.
Oh.
What actually happened was that, well, some people in England, in